Okay, let's dive in. We're looking at some source material today on a really critical issue within the justice system, trauma.
Yeah, and the sources, they paint a pretty stark picture right from the get-go. What immediately jumps out are the stats on trauma exposure for incarcerated adults. We're talking, the sources say, over 95%.
95%. That is, wow. That's almost everyone. And you mentioned for female offenders, it's even higher.
That's right. 98%. Almost universally reported histories of trauma. And then you dig into adverse childhood experiences, ACEs.
Yeah, those really difficult, potentially traumatic things that happened before 18.
Exactly. The sources point to 75%, three quarters of the prison population having four or more ACEs. So this isn't some minor detail. It's like foundational.
Absolutely. And our sources, they make it really clear. This isn't just background noise. This widespread trauma, it deeply impacts things like mental health, substance use, behavior.
Mm-hmm. And often it's a big factor in why people end up involved with the justice system in the first place, you know, driving certain behaviors.
Right. And then once someone is in this system, it makes rehabilitation so much harder.
And what's really tough, which the sources highlight, is that the actual prison environment, it can end up being re-traumatizing.
Yeah, making existing issues worse or even creating new ones.
Yeah.
Kind of a vicious cycle.
Exactly. Within the very system that's supposed to help.
So, okay, faced with this huge challenge, what's the way forward? Our sources explore something called trauma-informed group therapy, TIGT.
Right. They see it as a really powerful tool, but they also point out a gap. We know trauma is, well, everywhere in this population.
But the how has been missing.
Yeah, the practical how too. Like, how do you actually implement effective group therapy for trauma, specifically for adults in the justice system? It's a unique environment.
Okay, so that's the mission here. The sources try to build that practical framework. And one of the first big takeaways seems to be taking it step by step, a phased approach.
Yes, absolutely key. The sources hammer this home, safety and stability first.
Hmm.
Before you even think about processing deep trauma, you have to build that secure base. Trust is crucial, and trauma often destroys that.
Makes sense. Safety first. So what does this framework actually look like in practice? What are the key elements?
Well, beyond creating that safe space, you know, respect, allowing vulnerability, building social skills in the group, they talk about adapting therapies.
Adapting things we already know work for trauma.
Exactly. Things like cognitive processing therapy, seeking safety, but tailoring them for a group setting in, say, a prison or probation context.
Okay, so you create the safe space, adapt the tools, then what?
Then you facilitate the actual trauma processing and help people develop coping skills. The group becomes this place to work through experiences, challenge those negative thought patterns.
And build healthier ways to cope with distress.
Right. And they also tackle the real world challenges, like managing conflict in the group, confidentiality issues, people transferring.
Practical stuff.
Yeah, really practical. And finally, a big focus is on promoting self-efficacy, empowerment.
Giving people the skills and the confidence, not just to deal with the past, but to succeed after the system.
Precisely. It's about building for the future, too.
Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting. By putting safety first, adapting these therapies, focusing on practical skills, the sources suggest TIGT can lead to some real measurable results.
Mm-hmm. The potential payoff is fascinating. You've got the expected clinical stuff, like fewer symptoms of PTSD, depression, anxiety.
Lower substance abuse rates, too, right? Because people learn better coping mechanisms.
Exactly. Healthier ways to manage stress. But then there's the behavioral side.
Like better compliance with supervision.
Yes. And the big one, lower recidivism rates. Fewer people returning to prison or jail. Because you're addressing the root causes the trauma driving the behavior, not just the behavior itself.
So it helps with reintegration back into the community, too.
Definitely. Building skills, empowerment. It all fosters resilience. It's potentially transformative, not just clinical.
So this deep dive, it really shows that understanding and, crucially, addressing trauma directly, it isn't just about symptom management. It's about healing.
Yeah, healing wounds that often lead people into the system in the first place. It changes the frame from just managing problems to supporting actual recovery.
Which could lead to more effective rehabilitation, safer communities.
Right.
So what does all this mean for you listening? Maybe consider this. If trauma is such a huge factor in why people become involved in the justice system, how might really embracing these trauma-informed approaches change our basic ideas about justice? About accountability, about what public safety truly means. That's definitely something powerful to mull over.